is the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. On today's program, I want to talk about your fundamental rights as an American. Now, the reason I say as an American is because there is a very important difference between being an American or a European or somebody from Great Britain or France or Germany or wherever. Of all the nations in the world, there is only one nation that guarantees to its citizens things that are commonly known as the Bill of Rights: freedom of the press, freedom of speech, freedom of religion, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and many, many other freedoms, such as innocence, until proven guilty. So, where did these fundamental bedrock rights come from? Because they don't exist really anywhere in the world that I'm aware of, only America. And the answer to that, that any historian, if they were willing to have a modicum of integrity, they would tell you that the only reason America has those rights is because America was birthed as a Judeo-Christian nation and built upon Judeo-Christian or biblical principles. And it is for that reason, and for that reason only, that American people still have freedoms, and in other nations, they've taken away their freedoms. Because in these other nations, they don't have anything equivalent to the Bill of Rights or anything equivalent to the freedom of speech, freedom of press that we have. Now, I remember when I was doing research on the United Nations and the European Union, and I noticed that the European Union and the United Nations had very similar rights that they allegedly gave to their people. But they're really not rights at all. What they are is a series of temporary promises that can be taken away from you any time the European Union government or the UN government wants to, like with the snap of their fingers. So you think you have life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. You don't. You don't have diddly squat. You don't have the freedoms we have here in America. And once again, we are in, listen to me, we are in right now a raging, all-out spiritual war between the forces of darkness and the forces of God. And it's being fought on a multi-dimensional level. It's being fought in courtrooms and governments and with citizens and so on and so forth. But it's also being taught and fought in the world of political rights, Bill of Rights, and things like that. So it's a physical world battle, and it's a spiritual world battle where you fight it with spiritual weapons. Now, once again, you will never hear this. Rarely will you ever hear it in a Christian educational establishment, because most, not all, there are exceptions, and we need to make note of the notable exceptions. There are many good exceptions in Christian education, but unfortunately, the majority of Christian education, the professors themselves, the schools themselves, do not possess or understand or have what's called a biblical worldview. They have a religion, but they don't really know Christianity as truth and not a religion. And their ability to enter into any kind of conflict or debate or whatever with a secularist or a humanist or someone in the New Age or a transhumanist. Their ability to debate is very shallow and very weak because they don't have a rock-solid biblical worldview where they understand that Jesus is Lord of all of life, not just the spiritual world. You understand what I'm saying? This is a make-or-break situation. If you do not fully comprehend what I'm saying, then I encourage you to get my books, read them at your own speed, listen to other shows until you master this truth. And when you master this truth, you will have knowledge which will bestow power on you. So the power we get from God is not mysterious. It's a two-dimensional power, basically. There is the real physical world battle or conflict, and then there is the battle or conflict that exists in what is called the spiritual world or the invisible world. But the true biblical Christian must engage in spiritual combat in both of those dimensions. So where am I going with this? Where I'm going with this very quickly and very succinctly is right to the doorstep of your heart and mind. In fact, if you listen carefully, you can hear me ring the doorbell or bang a hard knocking on the door of your house or apartment or condo or whatever. You open the door. Yes, it's me. You're shocked because how could me be at your house when you just heard me on the radio? Well, things happen, don't they? Now, what you have to understand is the enormous foundation of liberty, truth, justice, the American way, whatever you want to call it, is built on a solid foundation of thinking and philosophy and theology and historical truth and past tense events. So what we are today in America is largely the result of what we were before in America. Now, let's take a shortcut through the park. We are one of the last free nations on planet Earth. America is one of the last free nations on planet Earth simply because we, to a large degree, abide in and operate within the context of what's called the biblical worldview and the Judeo-Christian biblical principles that provide the foundation of liberty and freedom for our nation. That is an all-important facet of our life. That is why God's hand was upon America since the very beginning. God's hand has been on America, God has raised America up, and God has blessed America in every conceivable way. That makes America different than all the nations of the world. So, America, God is using America because America is one of the few nations that incorporates into its system of governance and law all the freedoms and the economy we have. That gives America the unique and different ability to go into all the world and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, to communicate a worldview. The other nations can't do that because they'll lie and say they can, but the reality is if they try to really act on their so-called rights, they will be jailed, arrested, etc., in a UN court or an EU court. Let me just tell you a couple of things about the European Union Constitution, and let me tell you a couple of things about the United Nations Constitution. They both use the word, like the UN Declaration on Human Rights, or the Declaration of Human Rights of the European Union. Now, what this does is allegedly give you the same rights and more as an American. You'll notice on these documents there's a long list of your rights. But then, if you coherently and rationally examine the document, you see that the EU, the European Union Commission on Human Rights, and the United Nations Declaration of Universal Human Rights, that these are very, very similar documents. And when the day is done, they take away more freedoms than they give. They pretend, they make believe that they're giving you the same amount of freedoms or more than America does. But that's a flat-out lie. So I'm examining these documents, and I notice something. I'm paraphrasing now, but I'm not paraphrasing the content. The content of these documents say that if you're operating, it's kind of vague, in the European Union or within the realm of the United Nations, let's say, and you publish a critical comment against the UN or a critical comment against the European Union and their Universal Declaration of Human Rights, you criticize, you suggest modification, you're not being mean-spirited, you're simply outlining ways they can improve their governance, okay? And it says you have the freedom to make those constructive criticisms. It's your legal right. But then as you go down the long list of your other legal rights, you notice that as time goes by, there's other rights that you have that you can read right in front of your face, which say the exact opposite of what the other rights say. So, for example, on one hand, it says you have the right to criticize, etc., the universal rights of the UN or the EU. You have the right to criticize, call for modification, or whatever. But no, you don't, because you go down 10 to 15 lines on the document, and you will read stuff like this, that if the EU or the UN believes that you are criticizing the Universal Declaration of Human Rights in any sense of the word, that you're guilty of a crime, that you could be arrested for that crime, that you could be jailed for that crime, that they can go back into your past retroactively and fine you for any past statements or articles or whatever you may have made that criticize the governance of the UN or the EU. So they have the right to arrest you for what you did or said in the past. They have the right to throw you in jail for what you said in the past. And then it says that if they catch you making these criticisms, even if they're positive suggestions, if they catch you making these criticisms, that they can go back in the past, give you more jail time and bigger fines because of what you said in the past. That is not freedom. That's the qualities of totalitarian state. And so then you realize that not only do you have far less freedoms than you did before, you have no freedom because they can go back in the past and arrest you and fine you and everything else. They can seize your home, seize your property, seize your pension, seize your bank account, seize your assets. Why? Because you may have made a constructive but critical statement over their Declaration of Human Rights. And so you can be thrown in the jail, fined heavily, have your house repossessed, and in fact, you could spend a lifetime in imprisonment. Okay, now compare that with the massive, irrefutable rights of the American Constitution and the American Bill of Rights. Number one is, if you're arrested, it starts out on the presumption that you're innocent until proven guilty. Number two is, if you criticize the U.S. government in the past or the present or the future, unless it's something like, you know, breaking a national security law, you know, or something like that, if you're just making a criticism or a comment, you are legally allowed, because you're legally allowed, freedom of speech. So you have a totally different set of rights than they do in the European Union and that they do in the United Nations. And you're innocent until proven guilty. You can't be fined for what you did in the past. There's a statute of limitations. And not only that, you are protected in terms of your freedom of speech, freedom of the press, and freedom of religion. You're allowed to speak out on all those categories of life very aggressively. And you're allowed by law, constitutional law, you're allowed to say stuff like, my faith in Jesus Christ and the Word of God doesn't allow me to do that. Now, they may try to hassle you, but you at least have a foundation to stand on. So when you compare and contrast the United Nations Universal Declaration of Human Rights and the Universal Declaration of Human Rights regarding the European Union, and finally, the only legitimate legal document, which is the Bill of Rights and the Constitution. The Constitution is the only legal document that gives freedom to its citizens and promises freedom to its citizens. None of the other nations have anything, any legal protection for you. You're on your own. You could be beheaded at a moment's notice. So you see the difference when you look closely, you know, like with contracts, read the fine print. So you got all these dreamy-eyed, dope-head idealists. I'll give you the name of a guy. His name was John Lennon, one of the main singers and songwriters for the Beatles. Okay? John Lennon was a radical political activist. I was quite a bit younger than John Lennon, but I attended many of the radical activist concerts he gave because I spent a lot of time with the radical activist Abby Hoffman. And John Lennon, you know, he wrote that ridiculous song, Imagine There's No Heaven, that anthem to communism in a world state called Imagine. And John Lennon, he knew that America's freedoms, although not perfect, were vastly superior to the freedoms of other nations. And so he was always whining and complaining about America, but his life was filled with hypocrisy. So, for example, back then, I forgot when he died, but he died with about $500 to $600 million in the account. That was like what $500 or $600 in money represented, let's say, in the 1960s. It was worth a lot. And John Lennon would sing these songs criticizing America, but America is the only nation that gives you the right to sing songs criticizing America. Fourth Industrial Revolution, this World Economic Forum fantasy. It's a fantasy. It's a reoccurring nightmare that Adolf Hitler had, and it's materializing once again in our world. The World Economic Forum, Their selling line is, you will own absolutely nothing, but you'll never be happier than in your whole life. That's a flat-out lie. That's a total lie. That's what you call propaganda. That's what you call social engineering. That's what you call brainwashing. It's all deception. It's all lies. It's all deception. It's all lies. You will be far worse off in the global reset than you are now. They will not even remotely keep their promise to you where it says you will own absolutely nothing. They may keep that part of the promise. You'll own absolutely nothing. Whoop-de-doo. But they're certainly not going to keep the second half of the promise, which is, but you'll never be happier in your life. If it turns out you own nothing, I promise you with every ounce of compassion in my heart, I promise you, I swear to you, you will not be happier than you ever have been in your entire life. That is a lie. That's a Bride of Frankenstein lie. That's a nightmare lie from hell. It's a total obscenity, total lie, and total deception. If it turns out that the globalist elite take away everything you own and you own nothing, I promise you, on the basis of the rock of history, that there has never been a people or a culture on planet Earth that has owned absolutely nothing, and at the same time, they've never been happier in their whole lives. It's a non-existent realm. It's a rebranding of communism. It's a rebranding of Marxism and socialism, where they say the same thing in slightly different words. They say nobody will own and nobody will owe, and we'll all have equal health care and equal this and equal that, and we'll all be happy. And what we're promising you, heads up, what we're promising you is a workers' paradise, a paradise for workers. That's really synonymous with the statement, and you'll own nothing, but you'll never be happier in your whole life. That is a lie. That's to hook the fools, the suckers. Dumbed down evangelical leaders. You say that's cruel? I don't think that's remotely cruel. For me to tell you the truth in the hopes that you might spread that truth and prevent this dictatorship to materialize, I would say that's an act of love to you and your family. Lies are an act of treachery and deceit. So let's just, you know, I talk a lot about this in a very up-to-date sense in my brand new book, Power from On High, which is being sent to the printer, but there's still time for a final wave of you pre-ordering the book, Power from On High, at a financial discount and save money if you order it now. By going to paulmcguire.us, that's paulmcguire.us, order your discounted copy of Power from On High now. It contains a powerful biblical analysis of where we are, where we're going, what's happening in our world, but it doesn't stop there. It talks about in intelligent, rational, logical terms, how to walk clothed with power from on high, how to walk in the dunamis, the dynamite power of God, the dynamite explosive power of God. So two things are happening simultaneously. You have an intellectual, scientific, historical, theological, psychological, spiritual understanding in depth of what it means to receive power from on high. Simultaneously, on the other hand, you have a theological account of the early disciples who, when they were meeting in the upper room, God poured out power from on high upon them. He clothed them with power from on high, which is the dunamis, the dynamite power of God. It was only after the disciples received power from on high that they were anointed by God with the supernatural power of God, and they were set on fire in a biblical revival and a biblical third of great awakening, and the early church moved throughout the world, winning people to Jesus Christ, performing signs, wonders, and miracles, all under the foundation of the Word of God as our final authority. So here we are in the last days, and everything we're talking about is culminating into a fusion point. And you and me and every true Christian, and that simply means anyone who is walking by faith in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, God would consider to be a true Christian. Now, if you're a true Christian, you can walk anytime you choose to. You can walk in power from on high. And that anointing, that supernatural anointing of the Holy Spirit, will pour itself out upon you and pour through you, causing you to have the supernatural ability to win souls, the supernatural ability to pray for people's healing, the supernatural ability that your words would ignite a revival or a third great awakening, the supernatural ability to do what none of us can do in our own mere human strength. But when we are walking in power from on high by putting our faith in Jesus Christ, we then have the supernatural power to occupy the land. All right, you're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. I need your help. I'm here for real. And the goal that the Lord has put in my heart is to spread this important spiritual message all over the world so that we together, through prayer and partnering together in Christ, we can together ignite a biblical and authentic third great awakening and a biblical and authentic last days revival. That gives ordinary Christians the supernatural power, the supernatural anointing of the Holy Spirit to overcome the evil one and to occupy the land. Okay, this is Paul McGuire. Go to paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. We'll be back in just a moment. Okay, this is Paul McGuire, and obviously we're back. I want to get more specific in what we could call the tracking or the electronic surveillance that goes hand in hand with dominating and controlling things like freedom of speech, freedom of the press, freedom of religion, and technology that restricts and blocks all of your constitutional freedoms. In other words, your constitutional freedoms don't mean a whole lot unless there's a legal enforcement and protection of your freedoms. And the fact of the matter is there's a war against your freedoms because America was built on the philosophy that flowed out of the Bible, a biblical worldview. And in a biblical worldview, you have a loving God who creates mankind, and he gives mankind free will. And so Adam and Eve had free will. The Pilgrims and Puritans, who were Christians, created the economic governmental structure of the founding of America. And all the rights that we have that came from the Pilgrims and Puritans originally flowed from a biblical worldview promoted by the Pilgrims and Puritans. So what has happened? Well, what has happened is two primary departures from the rivers of truth. The first primary departure is the intellectual, spiritual, philosophical, and scientific, technological departure. In this departure, American intellectuals, scientists, technology people, American government, etc., and so on and so forth, has collectively decided about 60 years ago that they want to be God, they want to function as God, they want the absolute power and authority that God has over ordinary men and women. And that shouldn't surprise us, because the goal of the secular humanist scientist is to genetically engineer the transhumanist movement. That means create an entire race of artificial human beings with synthetic human DNA and let them populate the earth. And these transhumanist scientists are perfectly relaxed about doing that. They don't have a moral conflict between inventing and creating human beings with artificial human DNA, which means that they're not really human. They don't have a problem with the interspecies breeding between human women and the fallen angels or the Nephilim. When the fallen angels or the Nephilim mated with human women, the human women gave birth to a brand new species, which was a product of interspecies breeding between fallen angel DNA and human female DNA. So their offspring were called the Nephilim or the Rephium. A hybridization of human DNA and fallen angel DNA. Okay, so it's obvious as we study what's happening scientifically, technologically, economically, sociologically, it's obvious what's happening is the pressure is increasing every day in our society. There is an ever-increasing pressure to force every citizen in America to receive wireless implantable chips for humans coming, whether you like it or not. You're going to receive a biochip implant of some kind, a nanochip implant of some kind, a microchip implant of some kind, or a self-assembling nano chip implant. That means it's a microscopic, submolecular nanoparticle that's AI, artificial intelligence, and it has been programmed to self-assemble, to fully mature inside the human body and brain. And the aggression by how this is being promoted on the American public is staggering. In the highest circles, we're talking about Klaus Schwab and the World Economic Forum, World Health Organization, all these other organizations, the United Nations. You're going to, according to these scientists and according to these technicians, you are going to get, whether you want it or not, you don't have a choice, which is a violation of your constitutional rights, by the way. But whether you like it or not, they're going to give you an implantable biochip implant that contains all your personal private information. It contains your COVID-19 vaccination status. It could be easily rolled out globally. And according to this particular scientist, the managing director of Disruptive Subdermals, a company headquartered in Spain, which has already designed the chip I just spoke of, Disruptive Subdermals is already a company headquartered in Spain, which has already designed the chip. Disruptive Subdermals is already a company that's making the chip as a simple way of always having proof of COVID-19 vaccination status with you. So you see, you can see through their hustle, their con, their heist. They're using medical and scientific technology, COVID-19 vaccination chip status, for the purpose of fascism. It allows them to use the backdrop of the fear of COVID-19 as a strategic pretense for a fascist implementation and a fascist forcing of you to be injected with a chip implant and other biotechnology devices. Now, this chip is a little bit smaller than the size of a grain of rice and is implanted under the skin. When it is scanned, a PDF appears showing the details of vaccine passport, according to the director. It is also easily programmable to show other things that the user may need. This technology exists and is used whether we like it or not. So much for freedom of anything. I am happy that it should be brought into public conversation. Well, you know, this annoys me. It annoys me is because we have this crackpot, I'm being kind, we have this crackpot who's head of a company called Disruptive Subdermals. And he's happy that his technology is ready to go and to be used by governments all over the world. Well, let me translate that to you. What he's really happy about is his company was the first to develop a complete new technology in the form of a biochip implant that can store all your personal data and utilize wireless brain-to-computer, wireless brain-to-satellite technology. But the problem is, this isn't Spain. Spain doesn't have a whole lot of freedoms. America does. So we need our politicians to get off their posteriors, both the Republicans and both the Democrats, because they're equally as guilty. It doesn't matter whether we have a Republican in office or a Democrat in office. Step by step, day by day, we keep marching into George Orwell's Big Brother 1984 totalitarian state. So we're full speed ahead on Big Brother, whether it's a Republican or a Democrat. That should not be. I would suggest that if you don't have a choice, that you contact the party of your choice and say you're not going to support them if they don't stand up for your rights, because that should be something that's very important to you, no matter what political party you support. Okay, he brags he's a biohacker. I'm supposed to be impressed. And he keeps bragging this bozo. I can't pronounce his name because he's Swedish or something. Hans Sjobald. B-A-L-D. So I'll probably mispronounce it, but it's Hans so jabald, so bald. No, I like it that way. Hans Sobald, the company's managing director, said, he's bragging about taking away our rights. This technology exists and is used whether we like it or not. You know, really, come to America and say that. Come to America and say that. Come out of your Spanish castle or your Spanish lab and say something stupid like that. So he's all into tracking people, and of course our governments are drooling to buy this technology. Why? Total control, total domination by utilizing surveillance technology. So that's the battle of the future. And if you don't think it affects you, you are seriously deluded. Let me give you a brief scenario of what is happening now, what's going to continue to happen, and what will happen in the near future. This is happening right now as we speak. Christians are being secretly, electronically profiled for all kinds of job positions, whether it's law enforcement or nursing or firemen. You know, there are thousands of government jobs, thousands of private corporation jobs that require kind of a more increased scrutiny by the prospective employer over the employee. Now, what they're going to use this electronic surveillance system for on Christians is they're going to try to find out, you know, are you a strong Christian? Are you a true Christian? Do you read your Bible? Do you go to church? Do you pray? And if you are, these are not my words, these are their words. I want to repeat it. What I am about to tell you, these are not my words. I'm simply repeating the words of government agencies and the usage of words that they use in relationship to how they perceive and categorize born-again Christians. Now, if they did that to any other category or people group in American society, they would be thrown in jail for discrimination, thrown in jail for a hate crime. But because Christians are passive and mousy, because they're attracted to mousy and passive Christian leaders, they're losing all their freedoms. So there are secret profile lists that companies have access to, government agencies have access to, and if those profiles indicate that you are a strong believer in Jesus Christ, that you have a biblical worldview, that you go to church, you believe the Bible, and let's say simultaneously, you're the best at what you do in the entire world. If you're on that list, you're not going to get hired by these government agencies or these major corporations. You're not going to get hired because something will pop up in the interview, and they won't tell you what it is. It'll have an ambiguous meaning, like, we detected something in your background. But it'll be a sneakier word than that. Are you tracking with me? They will profile you with an ambiguous, sneaky word. Okay, and you're sitting there wondering why you or a loved one didn't get this particular job, and it has everything to do with the fact that secretly you didn't know about it, but you have been profiled as what? You have been profiled as being a right-wing extremist, a religious extremist, a Bible thumper, an evangelical Christian believes in Bible prophecy, and all these other things that they, not the general public, that they, the people who are profiling, they have decided to marginalize you, demonize you and put you in a highly negative category in a effort to keep you unemployed, especially in high-level government jobs. That is going on. So if you believed ideologically and spiritually and economically and politically, if you happen to believe the same things that George Washington believed, or Abraham Lincoln believed, or many of our other founding fathers believed, the computer profiling centers would tag you as a radical extremist, a religious extremist Christians. Now, this has the effect of moving as an undetectable force throughout society, the armed services, the various agencies, intelligence agencies, and otherwise. This functions as an undetectable, non-observable force in our society, which aggressively purges a vast spectrum of jobs, high-level positions, high security positions. It has the net effect of categorizing you, profiling you, and everywhere they look for info on you, it comes up in their computers that you're a religious extremist or a right-wing extremist, and you're demonized. You've been given the equivalent of the tattoo that they gave the Jews in Nazi Germany when they wanted to demonize them. So let's your frightened, cowardly pastor, not all of them, but some, doesn't want to tell you this, doesn't want to know about it, because then he'd be responsible for it. But you deserve him. I'm not trying to be unkind. You deserve him. Why else would you give your money, your volunteerism, your prayers, your work, and your effort to a man or a woman who is essentially functioning as a watchman on the wall who has failed to blow the trumpet of warning? Why would you do that? You know why you're doing it. Okay, so this is what the fallout of this is. This is an undetectable, invisible, but highly powerful force sweeping through our society and every single one of its institutions, from education to law enforcement. And it has the net effect of uprooting and purging tens and tens of millions of people who are the most qualified people for these jobs, but they are also simultaneously profiled as religious extremists and right-wing extremists and other demonized identities. And so what this does is it purges all these important institutions, the armed services, police, firemen, everything. And what it does is it takes out all the patriotic people. It takes out all the people who love our country, all the patriotic people, all the Judeo-Christian people, all the Christian people, all the people that are for family values. And all of a sudden, you've created a category list consisting of millions upon millions of people that have all been electronically marginalized and demonized, and they have been falsely identified as anti-government extremists, right-wing extremists, et cetera, et cetera. And let me reiterate what I said. They have been falsely identified, falsely categorized, and falsely demonized. And this is done intentionally. Because what it does is, again, it moves through our society as an undetectable, powerful force, purging and uprooting every individual, male or female, who happens to be conservative, family values, Christian, biblical worldview. All those people who are an important part of our society are now cut off economically. Their legs are chopped off economically. They can't get promoted economically in power and decision and influence in society, because if you're classified and profiled in one of those manners, you can't get promoted. You can't get your foot in the door. So we have a very serious problem. Sadly to say, not all, I'm not speaking of everybody, but we have a disturbingly large percent of Christian males who are Christians, but they are cowardly. They hide out in their Christianity. They refuse to take a proactive stand. They don't stand for Christ in an intelligent, strategic manner. And again, this has the net result of removing from our society literally all of the true salt and light is being removed from our society, which leaves an entire mass demographic of people that are essentially spiritually and demonically rotting. Okay, you see what's happening. You understand the implications. You're tracking with me. This is a very dangerous predicament, and it's happening everywhere. So, at this juncture in time, we must make collectively what can only be termed as an immediate and automatic 180-degree reversal in our collective strategy as believers in Jesus Christ. We can no longer be the brand that is dressed up and being escorted to the showers or the gas chambers where we're going to be annihilated and choked to death, thinking we're getting a shower, but it happens to be poisonous gas. We can no longer participate in that scenario of ultimate stupidity. We need to stop it immediately. We can no longer participate in the Hitlerian propaganda of going to the gas chambers and being annihilated. The pattern in all these totalitarian nations is they demonize, they categorize Christians or Jews or whatever, and then they kill them off. And they are preparing to do that in the future in America, in a future that is coming sooner than you think it is. Now, I'm doing everything I can to warn you and to alert you, but I can't do it alone. I need your help in terms of your prayers. I need your help in terms of your donations and helping us to spread the word fast and furious as fast as we can, because time is running out. If we adopt an irreversible strategy where we turn on a dime 180 degrees and we become the hunters and not the hunted, and I mean it in a spiritual classification, then and only then can we uproot the enemy and take back the land, the territory, the jobs, the position, and the money that the evil one and his followers have stolen from us. And we must admit as a culture that, look in the mirror, and we must admit that we alone are responsible for the demise of our own nation and the demise of our own culture. And because we alone are responsible, it means we are complicit in driving the Christian culture to this present destination point. The only way to solve it is to immediately repent, reject anything that has to do with a non-biblical worldview, to completely reject anything that constitutes a mind that is not a mind of Christ, and through a 180-degree reversal, we must become instantaneously, by faith, the men and women God wants us to be, and take the control back of our nation that God requires that we do in the last days. Now, I need your help. I need your donations, your contributions, your prayers, and your partnership. Visit paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. And remember this. We either overturn their totalitarian plan, or the day will come, if you're still alive, that you will see yourself and your loved ones being taken off to their re-education and concentration camps. That is not a paranoid fantasy theory. That is an examination of what happened to Christians previously in history, and superimposing a lesson we should have learned long ago on this present situation. God bless you. This is Paul McGuire. Visit paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. Feed your mind and order the books we have for you at a big discount. Visit paulmcguire.us.